Thank you, Jennifer. Now I'm going to introduce the 10-minute speaker, who is Suzanne.
I'm Suzanne, I'm an alcoholic. I want to thank Heidi for asking me to be her 10-minute. I didn't come into Alcoholics Anonymous to get sober. I came here to get my court card signed. Bottom line, you know, I didn't know that I wanted to be sober. And I was pretty sure I didn't want anything you guys had because you were all, like, old. At least 30. I mean, it's not incredibly old, like 45. And I wasn't ready, you know, at that point. I came into AA with my mom because she decided it would be a great idea if we both went together, because my mom was one of those jump on the bandwagon type people. And the first meeting I went to, I don't remember if I heard anything. I heard the guy talking about drinking, but if he ever got sober, I don't remember that part. But it made me thirsty. I came to a speaker meeting over at this 1600 club, and that's all he talked about was drinking, or that's all I heard. And I had to go, you know, start drinking because I was thirsty. At that period of time, right after that happened, I went out and I got drunk on St. Patrick's Day. And I'll tell you what, you know, alcoholism doesn't change. And I remember a woman that I talked to when I was drinking, and she was buying us beer. And when I was like 15, I could get people to buy me beer. When I was 13, I was hanging out in front of liquor stores getting people to spot me beer. but this woman told me, she bought us the alcohol, and I go, hey, you want some? And she goes, no, I don't drink. And I said, well, why not? She goes, well, it quit working for me. And I thought, well, that's stupid. You're doing it wrong. And I had no idea what she was talking about. But it's interesting that all this time later, that still sticks with me, because I was confused. What do you mean it doesn't work? It stopped working for you. I was drinking since I was 12, and it made me feel what I thought like normal people felt. Like, it gave me confidence and made me not care, and it made all the fear go away. And I thought, wow, you know, this is the stuff here. I mean, that and other drugs. I did a lot of drugs. That's a part of my story. I don't normally talk about it in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I was not comfortable in my own skin from the time I was little, and alcohol took that away. And then it started doing things to me instead of for me. And I was a blackout drinker. I was an angry drinker. I'd go into blackouts and I'd get really angry for some reason. I mean, this is the kind of stuff I'd do. I would come out of a blackout chasing somebody with a knife and not have any clue why. I mean, I'm running down the street chasing this guy with the knife, and I come out of the blackout and I'm thinking, who is this guy and why am I chasing him with a knife? And then I thought, well, don't look stupid. So I kept chasing him for about another block, and I go, yeah, you better run. And then I stopped, and I went back to whatever I was doing, and it was odd. It was like this stuff kept happening to me. You know, I did stuff in blackouts. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was humiliating. Some of it was funny. Some of it was dangerous. But I came into AA, and I finally started to listen. After that speaker meeting that I went to, I got drunk, ended up in jail, threatened a barmaid with a knife, just had some really ugly stuff happen. And one more time, I woke up the next day and I just wanted to die. You know, I just wanted to die. And so I came into AA, and I didn't know that I wanted what you had. And then there were some nice people in here, and I thought they wanted something from me. And I was wondering what all the hand-holding, prayer doing, you know, wait, where's the preacher and what's going on here? You know, I remember the first meeting I was at, they said the Serenity Prayer, and I didn't know it. And I kept thinking, what is that? What are they doing? And they want to hold my hand, and everybody's trying to hug me. Bunch of weirdos. But the thing that I got out of the first meeting is that I heard hope. And I heard people that drank like I did. And I didn't think I would stay here. I actually, I didn't stay sober from the first time that I came in. I stayed sober for like 2 weeks, and then I got bored because I was 22 years old. There was no young people in AA at that time. I mean, I'm always glad to see people that are young coming into AA, because back then it was me and a couple other girls, and it's interesting because me and those couple other girls are still sober today. I was so angry when I got here. I would sit in the corner and clean my nails with my buck knife and just dare you to come talk to me, you know. And there was a lot of people that were afraid of me when I got here. You know, I'd go to the, and for some reason, I don't know why I did it, because I didn't like women, but I'd go to the women's meeting. There was a Tuesday women's meeting, and all the nice little old blue-haired ladies would sit in there, and they'd sit around the one table with their little books and their little knitting and whatever, and I'd sit in the corner with my Harley shirt on, my buck knife, and I'd just listen. And it took one lady a year to come up and talk to me. And it was, I had my birthday, my 1 year birthday, and she came up and she said, she was kind of scared, and she goes, "Can I give you a hug?" And I had mellowed out since then, and I'll never forget, she came up to me and she put her arms around me and she hugged me and she backed up and she goes, "Hugging you is just like walking into a biker bar." I was so afraid, and I thought, oh my God. You know, I didn't do everything right in this program, but I did get a sponsor, and I did follow direction after a while. You know, some of the directions I got I thought were kind of stupid. I would call my sponsor up, and I'd be like, "You wouldn't believe what's going to happen, what's happening to me. They didn't pick up my garbage, and, you know, this happened and that happened." And she'd be like, "How much coffee have you had to drink?" Because what I did is I switched addictions. I went from beer to coffee. And I would drink a pot of coffee in the morning and get myself all riled up about nothing and call her, right? And I'd say, "A pot, you're not listening to me. I have no problem." She's like, "Did you eat anything?" "No, and again, you're not listening to me." You know, and it was hungry, angry, lonely, tired. You know, people in AA taught me the little things, the real simple stuff. "Suzanne, is there anything you can do about that today?" If the answer is no, then you need to let it go and tell yourself you'll worry about it tomorrow. If there's something you can do about it, do it. It was those kinds of real practical little things that helped me get through the big deals in AA, and it still does. You know, I was taught a lot in this program, and I've had the benefit of good sponsorship. They told me to stick with the women in this program, and my first meeting, there was this little old guy, Monty, who came up to me, and he was telling me, he was the only one that would talk to me after the meeting, right? Everybody left, because, you know, the newcomer's the most important person in the room, right? And then everybody gets up and leaves, and nobody's talking to me, and I'm like, whatever. Not that I raised my hand or didn't just hide in the corner, but he came up to me, and he told me, he says, "Suzanne, you stick with the women. Find a sponsor who's got 2 years or more. And be careful of the men in Alcoholics Anonymous." Well, he didn't know how paranoid I was at the time anyway, right? So that stuck in my head. So any guy that would look at me or talk to me, I'd be like, I remember old guy Henry. I was sitting at a table, and all of a sudden this arm comes reaching across my shoulder, and I turned around. I go, "Look, motherfucker, I'm just here to save my ass." And he looked at me, and his eyes got really big, and he goes, "I was just trying to get the creamer." And it was just funny, you know. I think back, and you know, I'm really glad that I stayed around long enough. You know, I wasn't going to stay. Why would I want to be here? I was 22. You know, my daughter was little, and she was a real motivating factor for me, you know, coming into Alcoholics Anonymous and being responsible for somebody besides yourself. And I didn't know how to be a mom, and I didn't know how to be a friend. And the women in Alcoholics Anonymous taught me that, you know. I was unemployable my first year, at least. You know, I'm barely employable now. I mean, I have a great job, but do I want to go? Not every day, no. I want to retire. You know, and at this point in my sobriety, I've been sober since April 6, 1989, and I just celebrated 26 years. And if you would have told me that I would have stayed here that long, I would have been like, hell no, I got better things to do. I'm ready to go wreck my life, you know? But I've stuck around, and I found a God that works for me. And I've seen miracles in this program. You know, I I love Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I didn't have a life when I got here. You know, it was like alcohol took my soul from me and AA gave it back. The biggest joy that I have in Alcoholics Anonymous is sponsoring other women in this program, and men. You know, and watching people grow, and I look around this room, and I've seen a lot of people come in. And I look back there at Jim, and I think, there was a lot of people that took bets on me when I got into Alcoholics Anonymous that I wouldn't stay. And a lot of those people have gone out and gotten loaded. And I look at Jim and I think, Jim and I have about the same amount of time, and who would have thought that the most angry people in the room would have stuck around long enough? I mean, me and Jim and Daryl, it's like we were all kind of, you know, sideways out there, but it just shows you that, you know, if you want it and you're willing to do the work, if you're willing to do the work and keep showing up and help other people, you can stay here. And I've got an awesome life today. You know, my little three-year-old daughter grew up. Now I have a three-year-old granddaughter who just adores me. You know, I walk in the house and it's grandma tickle me, grandma do this, grandma do that, grandma, 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 grandma. You know, and I've got three grandkids. And had you told me that would be a highlight of my life, I would have been like, yeah, whatever. But it's amazing. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous has made me into a person that I've always wanted to be. You know, because I hated my own guts when I got here, and it's taken work to be okay in my own skin and to have my own approval. But that's probably the best part of Alcoholics Anonymous is I don't have to drink today and I get to like me a little bit more. So I actually came here to hear Heidi, and Heidi saw me last night and said, what are you doing tomorrow night? I said, I'm going to go hear you speak. She said, good, you're going to be my 10-minute speaker. So I got a little set up for that, but that's all right. If you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, keep coming back. You know, take some action. Do the thing you don't want to do, and you might stick around. So thanks for letting me share.
Yes, it was not the greatest million that you ever had more.